good to be here today. You may notice that I am not Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott is on vacation this week. I've seen some pictures of him and Melanie and Kendall up in Branson. Looks like they've had a great time. So be praying for them as they make their way back home and pray that they got the rest that they needed this week. I do know your pastor. And I do know your pastor has been working while he's there because I've had conversations with him. And just want you to know that he loves this church. And I'm so blessed to have him as leadership here at Bear Creek Community Church. I'm thankful he's allowing me to share his pulpit this morning. So I've got some things I want to share with you. So if you will turn to Proverbs chapter 4, that's where we're going to be. We're going to look at verses 20 through 27. But before I get there, I've got some words of wisdom that I have found that you may find useful. Nothing is really lost until your mom can't find it. An apple a day keeps anyone away if you throw it hard enough. I wouldn't suggest doing that one. Now, this one I really like. Parenting is yelling, "You just had a snack," over and over until you give in and throw them another snack. I'm sure no parents in here has ever done that. Well, Proverbs is full of wisdom. That's not very good wisdom to be sharing with you there. But Proverbs has lots of great wisdom to share with you. And that's what we're going to look at today, is some wisdom that Solomon is sharing with his son. And we're going to dissect these scriptures here in a second. But I couldn't help myself as I was preparing for this sermon to think about my own dad and think about words of wisdom that he has shared with me. Now, my dad is a carpenter. He can build just about anything that you can think of. He used to always tell me when I would go out and help him in the shop, he said, "Chad, you measure twice and you cut once." And that's really good words of advice. He also, and I've said this one way more times than I ever thought I would say, was that a lock is to keep an honest person honest. If you think about it, if someone's going to break in and steal something, they're going to do it no matter what. But if you're kind of hesitating, like, should I do this? You come up to the lock, I'm not going to do it. That's a good piece of advice. And then my dad is always about having fun. He said, "You got to have a little fun in life." And that's the truth. We've got to have that. But, you know, one of the things I can remember when I was a kid, me and my brother had to share a room. And that's lots of fun. Any siblings in here have to share a room? I'm sure y'all just love that. Yes. But I can remember my dad. He would work construction. And so he worked for Brown and Root for a lot of years. And he would always have to work off. And so he would come in on Thursday nights. He'd be home Thursday nights, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But each of those nights that he was actually there, I can remember him coming in to the bedroom at night, and he would instill upon us the importance of prayer, and we'd recite the Lord's Prayer together, all three of us, every single night that he was there. And, you know, here recently, since he's retired, some of the things that God has really placed on his heart that I find of great value is he is constantly reminding people to pray for their pastor. I know a lot of you in here are Facebook friends with my dad, which is hilarious to think that he's on Facebook. But he is constantly saying, "Pray for your pastor." And it's such a good reminder for us that we need to be praying for our pastor all the time. And then the next thing, we actually found a t-shirt. Dad says God is able a lot. You know, and so it's just great words of advice that Dad has given me and my brother over the years and my sons. It's just a beautiful thing. And so Solomon is wanting to share with his son some words of wisdom, some things that he needs to hear. And so if you will, let's read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thoughts to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your written word. We are so thankful for the time and history that we live to where we have all of your written word. Father, may you speak to us today through these words. So what I want to do is kind of break these up in sections. And I want to look at the first section, which is verses 20 through 22. And I want us to understand that Solomon's trying to tell his son is that we should pursue, or he should pursue, and us as well, wise counsel. This is something that is important for us to be able to have, is wise counsel. It says in verse 20, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Now, he says, pay attention and turn your ear. Anybody have any kids and you say pay attention and they still don't hear you and you have to really get their attention for them to truly focus? I've had to have lots of kids like, you look at me so that I know that you're paying attention. And so Solomon is looking at his son and say, pay attention and turn your ear. Now, I actually used this illustration in youth camp just a couple weeks ago. I was able to be the Bible study teacher for the ninth grade. And I want to share with you a picture here of Fossil Rim that many of us got to go on this trip. It was 2019, I believe. It was a wonderful trip. And in that, you can see all of us that went. And I don't know why we didn't wait for Avery Tilly to get out of the bus, but that arrow is pointing to him. But he is there. Now, I absolutely love Avery. Avery has totally blessed my life. He is such a good young man that I miss him and his sister a lot in youth group. I really do. Avery is unique. He loves the Lord, like I said, deeply. But he has this amazing ability to remember facts about animals. It's just totally crazy. I don't understand how he's able to do it. It's truly something God has gifted him in for certain. And so we decided, Miss Lisa put together a trip to Fossil Rim, and we were blessed to have Avery be our tour guide. And he was able to take us in places we couldn't go. The other cars couldn't go in those places. And we were going through, looking at all the different animals. And with Avery's own special way, he was able to tell us not just the scientific names of the animals and the names, but also their personal name that they had named them there. Just amazing facts that he was able to share about these animals. Now, I've been all over the place with Avery. I've been to Mexico. There's lots of funny stories there that we could share with you about Avery in Mexico. And I've taken him to the Panhandle on mission trips. And one thing I love about Avery is his sense of humor. He is has a great sense of humor and can tie all kinds of things into his knowledge he has about animals. But what I found myself doing was I was totally amazed at what I was looking at, but I was so wanting to hear what Avery was saying. And so while I'm looking so much at this animal out here and trying to feed them, I found myself really turning my ear to listen to what Avery was saying because he knew exactly what he needed to say about each particular thing. And I learned a lot of things that day. But when I see that Solomon's telling his son to turn his ear, that's like a perfect way of illustrating that because I was just as excited to hear what he was saying about the animals as I was actually seeing the animals. And so Solomon's looking to his son and he's saying, pay attention and turn your ear. And he said, turn your ears to what? To my words. Now, it's important for us to understand that what we hear directly impacts our life. I got some things for you here. I got some sounds I want you to help me with. See if you can help describe. I've got four sounds. We're going to hear the first sound. You let me know what that first sound is. Yeah, you hear a stream and some birds. The quality's not very great, I'm sorry. I thought we'd start with that one since I just talked about Fossil Rim. Okay, so you hear that. So the second one, let's hear that one. That was pretty easy. What's that one? Texas Ranger game. Okay, so we're going to find out on this third one really who this one really speaks to. Okay, let's do the third one. What was that? Well, you would think it's NASCAR. That's actually Chris Cooper on his bicycle. No. It really is NASCAR. Okay, and the fourth one, I really like this. It's going to be a little bit of a quiet, but then you're going to hear just something at the end. And for some of you in here, you're going to like, oh my gosh. Okay, let's do it. Does that strike a chord with anybody? Like literally? Yeah, what is that? It's Frozen, that's right. One of the best talent shows we ever had was when Cody Athey played and sang Frozen for us. It was hilarious. But anyway, yeah, so hearing those things, can you immediately put yourself in those situations? Or maybe a desire to be where that place is. Now, there may be other things that really is a good trigger for you. The mountains and the water and all that stuff really calls to me, the hearing the streams and the nature. I love that. But what we hear really impacts us. So let's look at the next verse, verse 21. It says, "Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain things I can see that really will speak to me. Okay, so let's look. I got a picture, a slide for you of some pictures. So let's look at the first one. We're getting really close to eating, right? I mean, we're lunch. So I don't know. Does that impact you in any way? I mean, I love chocolate cake, and it's really weird, but like that steak and shrimp, I can smell that just by looking at the picture. Now, the tacos is amazing, but you can take all those vegetables off for me because I am not a vegetable person, don't want that at all. But just seeing those things, doesn't it place a desire in you to want? And maybe that's not your favorite thing that you eat, but that's just an example of what we see. It can make us desire things. Well, maybe food's not your thing. How about this next slide? Let's look at this one. How about some places? Now, we have lots of pilots, so you notice the first picture up there that I had to put there. But seeing things like that puts that desire within us that we may long to go there or do those things. And so Solomon is telling us in verses 20 and 21 to pay attention, to listen to what we're hearing, and to be careful and don't let them out of our sight. Place them in our heart. Because everything should be stored up on our heart. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart." We have to be careful of what we see and what we hear, because it goes to our heart. It directly impacts us and places desires within us. It says in verse 22, it says, "For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." He is sharing godly wisdom with his son. And in hearing this godly wisdom, hearing these words that God wants him to hear, it will produce there for life to those who hear them. Now, this word life here is speaking about earthly happiness and spiritual blessedness. When we hear the word of God, when we allow God to penetrate us and to deeply affect our heart, we are blessed beyond measure. And it says, "into health." And health to one's whole body. Now, this word health here, it's the Hebrew, it's of marpe, and this is basically a medicine or a cure. So let's read that and replace that health. It says, "For they are life to those who find them, and a cure to one's whole body." The words that God gives us, when we place them on our heart, it is the cure that we need. Which, if we're hearing things and seeing things that directly affect our life, that directly affect us at the core of us, we have to be very careful with who is feeding us or what is feeding us. You know, I've recently had lots of people talk about podcasts, and I just kind of touched here and there. But recently, I've really started listening to podcasts, and it's kind of like YouTube. You ever click on a video on YouTube, and then the next thing you know, you're on a different video, and then you're on a different video, and it has nothing to do with what you were actually starting your actual process of going to YouTube to watch. Well, the same thing can happen with podcasts if you're not careful. You just kind of go from place to place. And so we have to be very careful with what we see and what we hear, because it directly impacts our life. It can place desires in our hearts. Wisdom from God needs to be on our heart. It needs to be written on our heart. Proverbs 3:3 and 7:3 says, "Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now, just kind of think about your own life. Think about your normal week that you have. You have lots of different people and situations that really impact your life throughout the week. You have other family members. You have coworkers. You have your parents. You have your kids. You have all different types of people that are constantly there. And we need to be careful with what we allow to penetrate to our heart and place upon our heart. We have to recognize that if we do take in some things that maybe is not quite what we should, and those desires are there, that simply saying, I won't do that again, or just trying to alter my behavior is not truly the answer that we need. That desire is still going to be there embedded within us. And the only way that we can truly have the desires removed is for us to have a heart change. So let's look at verse 23. Verse 23, Solomon is telling his son to protect your heart. It says, we have to understand that everything that we do flows from our heart. Luke 6, verse 43 through 45 says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from their bush from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus is saying, what he's saying is that he meant that consistently sinful words and deeds is a good, it's an indicative way of us seeing a sinful heart. So if we constantly see those sinful nature in us, then we have a sinful heart. And we can be a kind of a spiritual, a fruit inspector, if you will, to kind of look at our own life to see what kind of fruit that we're producing. I think it's healthy for us to really evaluate how we're living our life and what kind of fruit that we're producing. And it's also important for us to evaluate and be fruit inspectors of other people. Now, I'm not saying that we judge people, because that's typically what we hear nowadays, is if I don't agree with your sin, then that means I'm judging you. That's not at all what I'm trying to say here. But we do need to look at the fruit that someone's producing that we are allowing them to pour into our lives. We need to make sure the fruit they're producing is right. And if that person is right, then we can listen to that person, and it can then affect our heart. Think about this. If you have kids, I highly suggest that you are a fruit inspector of your kids, that you're seeing how they're living their life and making sure that they're living it in the right way. That is just something that we are called to do as parents, is to help raise up our kids and do it in the proper way. And so if I see one of my kids doing something wrong, then I should correct them and lead them back on the right path to God. And so being a fruit inspector is not, I don't want you to confuse that with judging someone else. That's not the same thing here. This is what Jesus has told us to do, is to, you know, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have either good fruit or we're going to have bad fruit. And if we have the bad fruit personally, then we can recognize we need to change some things. We need to look at our heart and let God speak to us. So Jesus tells us that sin starts from the heart. So talking about kids. So my oldest son, Sean, when he was a couple years old, I can remember having to get on to him because he would want to take someone else's stuff. Now, did anybody in here teach their kids to do that? It's like, okay, Sean, if Adam, which is his cousin, has something you want, you just go take it. That's what we don't teach our kids that, right? No, they just naturally have that in them. It's like, you have what I want, I don't have it, so I'm going to take it. It is naturally within us to sin. It is just, it's our nature. From the fall, it has just been carried down from generation to generation, and it is naturally within us to do things that is outside of what God wants us to do. In Mark 7, verses 20 through 23, it says this, "And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evils come from within, and they defile a person." We have a sinful heart. It is what we are fighting against on our own, and until we have the salvation Jesus offers us, there is no way we can change our desires. We make an altar for a moment, but we need Jesus to do that. We need that new heart. So we have to ask ourselves, do we truly have this new heart that Jesus offers us? I don't want you to doubt your salvation at all. That's not my intention here. You should examine your fruit and see if you truly have this new heart. It reminds me of John chapter 3 when Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. I had a professor one time that called that episode Nick at Night. It's because Nicodemus come at night, you know, and all that good stuff. But anyway, when Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus about being born again, it totally blew Nicodemus' mind. He couldn't comprehend that. And what he's offering him is to be born again to receive this new heart. And the only way that we can adjust our behaviors properly is for us to receive that new heart that Jesus offers us. There's no way we can sit here and say, I just won't do that again. I'll behave differently. I'll do this or I'll do that. No, it takes what Jesus is offering you, and that is the new heart. To be born again, to have your desires be godlike, to be Christlike, to remove those things from us. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean that we're immediately not going to have that temptation anymore. But we have the Spirit working with us and helping us and pushing us in the right direction to where we're no longer having to fight through this on our own. But we cannot simply just modify our behavior. You know, I guess it was about 10 years ago back in East Texas, we were doing a study with youth about the different masks that you wear. And I'm not talking about superhero masks. I mean, if I was, Batman would totally be it. Carson had on a Batman shirt, or has on a Batman shirt. It's like amazing. No, Superman is not better than Batman, Chris. Anyway, what I'm talking about is the different masks that we put on in front of other people. If you think about it, we kind of all do that somewhat. Think about your daily life that you have. If you're around this particular person, you may behave in this particular way. Or if you're around this particular group of people, you may behave this certain way. Or if you're at church, you may behave this certain way. It's different masks that we put on. And that is, if we don't, which can still happen as a follower of Christ, but we should feel conviction when we do that. But for those who are non-believers, this is a really big deal for them because they are trying to fit in wherever they are. You know, there was this one time I was on in a conference in San Diego, and on my flight back, naturally, I'm sitting beside people I don't know. That's just the way it works. And so he wants to talk. I'm a natural introvert. I just really don't like talking. And he's wanting to talk the entire flight. And he's talking about this and that, and borderline on the vulgar side. And somehow he mentions something about me where I'm able to say that I work in the church, you know, I serve in the church. And immediately, I literally got to watch him change his mask. I mean, it was almost like he went like this and then went like that, because he totally changed how he was speaking to me. That happens quite often, actually. And I was just totally amazed. I'm like, okay, seriously. But what was so crazy is he was able to really put that mask on about church that shocked me. Because if he had led with that one, I would have never known about the other part of his life that he had been discussing with us. And you see, he was just modifying his behavior based upon who he's around. That is not what we need to do with our life. We need to dig deep down into our heart and ask God to remove that from us, those desires that we have. When we hear certain things, when we see certain things, that desire is removed from our heart. And the only person that can do that is Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that that has been saved since I was going in the fifth grade, and I make mistakes, I can still go to the Father and say, forgive me, help me out of this situation. So let's look at verses 24 through 27. We are to examine our actions. This is what Solomon is telling his son. And you have to understand that our actions show us the true motives of our heart. Verse 24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, it's three different body parts that's talked about here: your mouth, your eyes, and your feet. And we're going to talk about each of those through this set of scriptures here. I think it is important for us to evaluate what we do, okay? And the mouth is really difficult. You write down James 3. You can spend some time there, and he can convict you on how we speak sometimes. And I'm going to read, actually, verses 5 and 6, just to understand just how dangerous our tongue is. It says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire courses of life, and set on fire by hell. That's pretty powerful, what our mouths, what our tongues can do. Anybody ever said anything and then immediately after it's like, why did I say that? Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. Or maybe you say it in a way that you didn't truly mean it to come out that way, and it sounds a lot worse than what, or vice versa. Yeah, I mean, it happens to all of us. We have to be careful with how we respond. And sometimes I think that the reason that happens is that I'm not listening to the person that's speaking to me. I'm preparing what I'm going to say back. And in doing so, I allow my mind to go faster than what it should, and it escalates, and I say things I shouldn't say. We need to tame that tongue. We need to be careful to free our mouths from perversity and keep that corrupt talk away from our lips. It's something that God has said here, that our tongue can be very, very bad, and it can affect so many people. The next verse, verse 25, talks about the eyes. And it says that let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you. Now, immediately when I read this, I immediately think of Peter and when Jesus is walking on the water. And you see Jesus, he's walking up. They're all kind of, well, what's going on here? I don't understand. Who is that? And, of course, Jesus identifies himself that it is he. And Matthew 14, verse 28 says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. First of all, which has nothing to do with the subject, but I'm going to go ahead and share it with you anyway, is I want you to understand that when Jesus says come, anyone could have got out of that boat. But Peter got out of the boat. Anyway, so Peter gets out of the boat. He is doing great. He is, you know, walking on that water. And then what's he do? He starts looking around. And when he starts looking around, he starts seeing the problem that is before him. And when he does that, he immediately loses his focus and he starts to fall in the water. And he says, Jesus, you know, Lord, save me. Interesting fact is that the Lord immediately saves him. But because he wasn't completely focused on Jesus, he lost his focus and he needed help. And so what we hear, what we see, what we say definitely affects us. And so we need to be constantly looking straight ahead at Jesus. Now again, we are humans, we're going to make mistakes, but regain that focus on him. Recognize by my actions and by my fruit that I'm producing that I need to refocus and put my position back on Jesus Christ. Now, the last two verses is going towards the same thing, the feet. And it's pretty important. So verses 26 and 27 says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So speaking of the feet, when you think about Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. So you may not know this or not, but I actually love to hike. And we've been doing lots of hiking the last 3 months. And really, I've hiked a lot over my life. And I've got a couple of slides. Let's look at this first slide here. So this right here, Paladura Canyon is what the top one is and the one on the right. That first one was the first time I went to Paladura Canyon. There's a whole other story between that hike. I literally almost had to be rescued. But the one on the right, that was a good hike. The bottom left, that is the White Sands in New Mexico. Absolutely love to go hiking. You see things that you don't normally get to see. My wife and I went yesterday, and we hiked three miles at Eagle Mountain. It's just a beautiful place. It's off the road, so you get to see things you don't normally get to see. And go to the next slide. So now, I'm taking a group of boys. This was a long time ago. The left side is kind of hard to see, but the left side is actually a path. And, of course, we have the one boy that likes to wrap his towel on his head like that. He's in the Navy, by the way, now. But anyway, we knew directly where we're supposed to go on that path because it was very easily seen. Okay? But when we got down that mountain or hill, it opened up to the one on the right. Do y'all see? That's a big difference there. And we literally had to hike for, I don't know, 3/4 mile actually in the river. We were going to Cummins Falls, which is in Tennessee. Anybody been there? So it opens up into that. If you go to the next slide, you're going to see that there on the left, that's what it looked like from the majority of the hike. That's me and Kobe on the right side, actually at the falls. We were in July, so the water was kind of down, so the falls are usually much prettier than that. But you actually get to hike up there to where the falls go in, and you actually get to swim there. It's really cool. Kids were jumping in, having a great time, and it was just a great, great time. You can leave it there for just a second. So here's what happened is that on the way back, because we had to hike in the river, we kind of forgot where the exact pathway was to go up to our cars, our vehicles. And since it wasn't marked very well, it wasn't marked at all, you just was going off of where you saw other people as step. There was this one adult that he's an Eagle Scout, so he has hiked a lot in his life. He is leading some boys, and he thinks that he is on a path that's going to lead to the right path. And so naturally, you have this guy that gets up there. So what's going to happen? You have all these other boys that's going to fall in behind him. And they start walking. Now, I've already gone up. My dad went with me, so I walked back early with him because he wanted some extra time to get up the hike. And honestly, I needed the extra time to go with him. That way, I wasn't left behind because I wasn't hiking quite as fast as everyone else. But we're already up there in our vehicles, and we hear about this after they get there. So as they're going up this hill, they recognize that they're in the wrong place, okay? Now, what should have happened is he should have said, we need to turn around. But no, boys being boys, men being men, we're going to prove we can do this. I'm sure that's never happened to any man in here before. They actually find this place where they actually kind of have to go around an obstacle, okay? And when they do that, one of our kids who was in high school, he falls head over heels down the hill. I mean, just over and over and over, and lands on a stump, like a fallen log. And my brother was down there, and he's seeing all of it. He said it's like it was like slow motion as the kid was falling. And, of course, Michael runs, over there to help him. And when he picks him up off of the log, he realizes that there was a stub out of that log that was coming out. And the only thing that saved him was Mountain Dew. He had a big old 1 liter Mountain Dew that was in his backpack, and it penetrated that. So if it wouldn't have been for that, he'd have been in major trouble. So we renamed Cummins Falls to Dillon Falls. We knew exactly what that was. But you see, what happened was is they got on the wrong path. And instead of turning around and redirecting themselves, they just pushed on forward. And that's not something we need to do in life. We need to be looking at where we are. And when we recognize we're in the wrong place, we turn back to God and say, I need your help. You know, honestly, we should never get to the point where we have to say, I need your help, because we're so closely a part of him that we're always there with him. But we do stray. We do go on paths that we shouldn't go on. But when that happens, it's okay. Turn around, look to God, and say, help me. Get me back on the right place. Get me back on the right path so I can go the right way. You know, that was a scary moment. It really was. So thankful everything turned out all right on that hike. But it has constantly been in my mind over the years of like how I push myself sometimes to go beyond what God has asked me to do, or to go in places I shouldn't go. And instead of seeking God for help, I just try to fix it myself. These are important words that Solomon is instilling to his son and sharing with him. And we get the pleasure of hearing these words and understand that we can go to the Father, that we can seek godly wisdom from him, and that we can look at his word and we can write them on the tablets of our hearts to remove desires in our life that we shouldn't have, to know that when we live for Christ, that we are living in the right way, and that he is there to constantly help us. So just want to, if in case you didn't write this down, verses 20 through 22 was pursue wise counsel. Verse 23 was protect your heart, and 24 through 27 is examine your actions. We must, I must guard my heart because my actions flow from it. So evaluate your actions, evaluate the fruit you're producing to see if you are on the right path, to see if you are truly seeking God, to see if you truly have that new heart that he has to offer you. Don't simply try to modify your behavior. Allow the Spirit to truly transform you. I'm going to ask Mike if he wouldn't mind coming up. And I want to ask you if you could just spend some time praying. And I want to offer an opportunity to you that maybe you've felt something on your heart that you need to hand over to God. And what a beautiful moment and beautiful time it would be. The altar is always open. You feel free to come forward if you want to spend some time here at the altar, or if you want to spend time there in your seat. Just remember that God is there. And if you need to be redirected, He would love to show you the right path. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, You are such an amazing, amazing God. Father, I know in my life that I have strayed, and I'm so thankful that You have taken me back. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would help me to understand more of who You are, to where when those paths and distractions that come our way that we shouldn't be on, Lord, that I can recognize that that's the wrong path. Father, I want to lift up the congregation to You today. Lord, everyone in this room is dealing with something. Nobody in this room has it all figured out. But You do. So help us as we struggle with control. Help us as we struggle with seeing things that we shouldn't look at, hearing things that we shouldn't hear, saying things that we shouldn't say. Help us to give that all to You. Help us to change the desires in our hearts. Father, if there is someone here that has not received You as your Lord and Savior, as their Lord and Savior, Lord, if this is the moment that they gain that new heart, that they surrender everything to You, and they say, no longer will I just modify my behavior, no longer will I just act like this person, but I truly want to give my life to You. Father, I thank You for everyone here. Thank You for allowing us this opportunity to worship You. In Your name I pray. Amen.